I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. Have you guys heard about the new web series Fact Checkers Unit? It's from stars and writers Peter Karanen and Brian Sacca and director Dan Beers. It's currently running on NBC.com. Each episode follows Peter and Brian as they check each and every celebrity fact printed in the fictional Dictum magazine. In their adventures, they fact-check Bill Murray, Donald Faison, Luke Perry, and their idol Alex Trebek. I talked with the guys about the show and how they get their celebrities, and yes, Alex Trebek.
How would you describe your show? What would be the best way?
This is Dan. I'm a writer and a director, and I'm 6'1".
This is Pete. I would describe FDU Fact Checkers Unit as a short-form comedic web series about two overzealous fact checkers who take their jobs way too seriously. And they work for Dictum Magazine, which is a men's magazine, and they are pretty much universally hated around the office because no one else seems to care quite as much as they do about their job.
Could you get into your characters? Or were these characters that you know of or could relate to?
Sure, this is Brian. And, you know, I'd say our characters come a little bit from Pete and myself as comedians. We've been performing in New York for a long time, and we're now currently in L.A. And we started performing uptown and realized that kind of wasn't our scene, and quickly moved to downtown to performing in the backs of bars because we realized that we're more of the kind of self-depreciating people that take ourselves too seriously. And
yeah.
So we kind of fed that into our characters. Like, these are people who work as hard as they can at a job, but you know, almost too hard to a fault. So you could see that it came from us a little bit.
And this is Pete. And what Brian didn't mention is that it was a really smooth transition from performing in the back of bars to performing on the back of the internet. So we're excited to be on NBC.com, which is a bigger website. And we definitely take our comedy very seriously, much like our characters take their jobs a little too seriously at times. You can just ask Dan, the director. We pretty much make his life pretty miserable because we are super anal and meticulous and unreasonable.
I love these guys.
Where did the original idea for FCU come from?
The original idea came from, well, first of all, you definitely should know that Brian and I started off as serious actors. We met at NYU in acting school and switched to comedy when we realized people had been pointing at us and laughing for years. So we decided to capitalize on that and become comedy companions. And started performing together and making videos, and we hooked up with Dan and wanted to make a video with him, and we came up with this fact checkers idea, I think because the phrase fact checker is so fun to say. It sounds kind of dirty, even though it isn't. The same goes for the word unit. It just sounds really fun to say, and we love the idea of telling the story because fact checkers are really a minority group whose voices have gone unheard for far too long. So we really developed FCU to give them a voice, and we thought the genre of the procedural was the perfect way to tell these guys' story.
This is Dan here. Also, you know what's really nice too about it is that these guys are in their offices and this job, which I think some people may think, you know, there are people out there who may say it's a little bit boring, but these guys then take it to the next level. They get to go out, and I think, for each day, they live out their adventures, and fantasies also.
We also thought it was a nice idea for a web series because every episode is self-contained. You don't need to watch the previous one to understand this one, and you know, if you watched episode 6 before any of the other ones, you would hopefully understand exactly what's going on.
Okay, cool. And Dan, I want to know, how do the celebrities and the facts fit together? Like, do you get someone like Alex Trebek on board first and then create a story around him, or is it vice versa?
This is Pete. It all depends on the celebrity. Like with Luke Perry, we heard that he had a beard. So we thought, oh, well, maybe he looks kind of crazy, and maybe he's paranoid and thinks his house is haunted, and that's how that story came about. And, of course, the large sideburns versus beard scene cropped up because he's always had famous facial hair. But with the
Paulie Perrette one, Pete, we should also say about that one, actually, we had another actor in first. I think that was blonde. And so, and when we, I think, applied it to Paulie Perrette, we're like, oh, well, that can't work because Paulie Perrette's hair is black. And then it turned out that Paulie actually is a blonde, I think, in real life. So it did apply.
And with Alex Trebek, he was the one celebrity that Brian and I absolutely insisted the producers try to get into this because in the original short film, we worshipped his character, him as the father of facts, and we just thought it would be so cool if we got him to be in our series. So we...
And it was funny, too, also, they did say, too, that when they did call to ask everyone there at the office... I was aware of the first film, too.
Yeah, the Trebek camp was aware of this, and he actually showed some interest in being in the series, so we wrote the episode for him really quickly in, like, less than 24 hours and sent it over to him because he was going on vacation, and he responded within, like, 2 hours that he wanted to do it as long as he got to wear a Buddhist
Dalai Lama.
Quickly agreed to.
I have a quick question about the show being online. I mean, newspapers and magazines kind of switched to online right now. Do you think that's also the future for movies and TV?
Is it Dan right now? I think right now it definitely appear to be going that way. I do think with films, you'll always have the bigger budget movies that will be played in theaters, but I think now for things like this, it's a great opportunity for things like this, where things that, you know, guys can make ourselves, and I think TV shows will definitely be going that way too.
You're going to see, this is Brian, you're going to see more self-generated content come out like this. Like, obviously, Samsung helped us out with this, and we couldn't have made the show without them. It made it look as good as it does. But before that, you know, we generated our own work, and I think that's going to be an increasing trend, is people getting out there, having the equipment and the means to make professional-looking, quality work. And that's going to keep growing, and I think that will translate over into television as well, is that you'll see more shows get made specifically for the internet, because people are watching them on the internet now. You know,
the opportunity is huge for, you know, and the opportunity is huge for people like us to really do this, Larry. In the past, I think we wouldn't have that chance.
People ask us what our demo is for this, and we say anybody that watches the internet, because there's a specific group of people out there that are watching shows on the internet right now, and it's just growing and growing and growing. You know, from a 12-year-old who loves to watch the internet to my father, who watches videos probably more than anybody else I know. It runs the whole span.
Is it harder or easier to be funny in, let's say, 6 minutes versus a full-hour show or a two-hour movie?
Is it harder or easier to be funny in 6 minutes? I think there are pluses and minuses. I think the pros are you can follow more of a sketch comedy format where you can have shorter jokes and your storylines don't have to last very long. But I also think you can't develop the characters enough to really mine the humor that you can get out of a character in a 22-minute show or an hour-long show.
It's a Dan as well. And also, the thing that's hard about it is pace. Trying to find the right pace for all the jokes in there in a short period of time, because if you're throwing in, like 10 jokes a minute, you want to be careful because you don't want all the jokes, and then you want to give the jokes time to play as well. So it's a little hard just trying to find the right pacing for it as well.
Have you guys gotten, like, more respect for fact-checkers? Because I know, I mean, it can be a really tedious job, you know? People don't really give them enough credit.
No, definitely. I think the fact-checkers that everyone's encountered post-film, post-short, everyone's been really excited about it. And we're asking for more of them, so we were happy that everyone was very excited that this was made possible.
And there are definitely, this is Pete, there are definitely pluses and minuses of fact-checking that we've discovered during shooting. Like, you know, the first day of shooting, Brian and I were in bed with Luke Perry for most of the day, which is obviously a pro that every fact-checker gets to experience. Yet, later on in shooting, when we shot with Donald Faison from Scrubs, he vomited lukewarm soup into our laps probably 13 or 14 times while we were shooting, and I'd like to think that it's just because he's so dedicated to his craft that he wanted to do take after take and not just a masochist who likes vomiting on people, but that would be an example of one of the cons of fact-checking, that people throw up on you constantly.
Well, did the guests know ahead of time what facts are going to be checked, or is it like an ambush?
It's a scripted. No. This is it's a scripted thing beforehand, so the guys know.
This is Pete. They all knew what the facts were ahead of time, but we also came up with a lot of fun stuff on set. A couple examples. The first one is when we were shooting with Alex Trebek. He was saying a few phrases in Latin and, you know, just spouting all this information, and Dan asked him, "Alex, is there anything you don't know?" And Alex responded with, "What I don't know is not worth knowing." And so we said, that has got to go in the episode, so we ended up incorporating that line into the show. Another example is when we shot with Dave Navarro, he brought a couple of guitars with him, which I just assume he brings wherever he goes. And we said, God, it would be so cool if he's playing guitar in this. Oh, well, you know what might be funnier is if Brian is playing guitar for Dave Navarro, because you don't see that too often. Somebody, an amateur, playing guitar for a brilliant, amazing guitarist. The only problem was Brian doesn't play guitar at all. So in the episode, you see Brian butchering the song Jane Says, one of the famous Jane's Addiction songs, and Dave turns to him and says, "Dude, that sucks." So those are a couple examples of, you know, they knew what they were getting into to some extent, but there was always room to play once we started shooting and come up with new ideas.
From the time you start writing the script to the time you finish shooting, how long is the process? And that includes, you know, finding the actor and all that.
I'd say we wrote all the episodes. This is Pete. I'd say we wrote all the episodes in about 6 weeks. We had 12 days of shooting. We were actually in production for 12 days. And then editing probably takes another 10 weeks or so. But pre-production actually lasted longer than 6 weeks, because we had to figure out locations and try to get all the celebrities attached, etc. So pre-production was a few months, but it probably took a month and a half to write all the episodes and get notes from the powers that be, and then change them accordingly.
Yeah, and
this is Brian. Sorry,
Brian.
I was just going to say, one of the things with writing these is that certain celebrities will be free at one point, but then we'll get another commitment and we'll have to replace celebrities. So a lot of it is writing an episode for a certain celebrity, and then that celebrity books a movie or has to go back on a TV show, and the schedule won't work out, so we'll have to scrap and write a whole new episode for another celebrity.
And Brian and Dan and I write all the episodes together, and a funny anecdote, when we shot the original short film with Bill Murray, and he showed up to the set and started looking at the script, he said, 9 pages, huh? And it took 3 of you guys to write this?
And he wasn't kidding. he also wanted to say, just really quick, this is Dan. I was just going to say that the overall process is, I think it's probably taking from about mid-April. That would be the start of it, and we're going to be ending the process of editing this week. So, say, mid-April through mid-August.
How difficult is it to, or how easy is it going to be, do you think, to get more actors to want to really jump into this?
This is Brian. I think actors love getting involved with things like this, whether it's lampooning themselves or just having fun getting to do something that they're not normally doing. We had a lot of talent that was excited to do this, and it wasn't necessarily a major struggle to go out there and find people who would want to get involved.
We were also aware of that while writing the episode. For example, Zach Guilford, the actor from Friday Night Lights, gets to wear a superhero costume and fight crime in our episode, and Alex Trebek, we worship him like a god, so who doesn't want to be a superhero and be worshipped, was our thinking. So,
who would you like to get a hold of now?
I just want to get Bill Murray back. I just want to keep working with Bill Murray over and over. So.
This is Brian. He was the greatest to work with. It was like a 6-7 hour comedy lesson. He's such a professional. He's been doing it for so long that he just knew exactly what needed to happen to make it the best it could be. And it was a real treasure to be able to work with him. He's hilarious. Like, even in real life, his dry sense of humor just lights up a room.
And we, this is Pete. We improvised with him. He directed us a little bit. We had little brainstorming sessions with him. It was so incredible. But the first thing we shot with him was when he finds us in his bathtub. And that is definitely real terror you see on mine and Brian's face looking up at this comedy god. We were definitely a little intimidated at first, but he made us feel comfortable. And it was certainly a dream come true to work with him.
This is Dan. And I think as a director, Bill Murray's amazing. You literally can't tell Bill, I mean, let's do that one again and try this instead. It was kind of just like, let him do what he wants because he knows better than, I think Bill knew better than everyone else.
And Piggy, you mentioned Samsung earlier. Do you think this is the new form of advertisement, you know?
This is Brian. I think this is a smart way to advertise a product, and I do think that this is going to be a growing form of advertising in the next few years. I don't think it'll ever overtake the commercial, but I think it's helping. You know, people are going to make these videos whether or not companies are involved. But when a company gets involved and backs a series like this, it can only make it better. You know, having an actual production budget and being able to shoot it on location instead of just shooting this in my apartment is a lot more fun.
And I think people, this is Pete, you're starting to see product placement, or continuing to see product placement in, you know, every television show and every movie, and I think audience members are more willing to accept it now if it's done the right way and isn't too heavy-handed.
Thanks, guys, and thank you for listening. Keep coming back to DailyActor.com, and please tell your friends about us. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.